Today's Bible reading is from Mark 4:1-20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even hundreds at 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the other around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in him. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still, others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Going to look at this part of God's word tonight, Mark chapter 4 verses 1 to 20. So won't you please have it open in front of you. How's that? That's a bit better. Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Well, Mary grew up in a Christian family. She was faithfully taught the Bible both at home and also at the church that she went to with her family. She had a good childhood, she had loving parents, a good education. She loved to be part of the kids' ministry at church. She enjoyed Sunday school, and then on into her teens she enjoyed going to youth group. She was baptized in her early teens. Then some hard things happened in her family, and nothing that could have been avoided. It wasn't her fault, it wasn't anyone's fault. And it shook her a bit. And then from then it seemed to those around her that she started to drift. In her later teens, other influences and pressures started to impact her. She said she was a Christian, but for those who knew her, that was less and less obvious in her life. And people were sad for Mary. She moved away for study. And her life is now all but disinterested in Christ. Her family and those who know her continue to pray for her. It's a tragic story, isn't it? But as I tell that story, that's not a one-off story, is it? This is a story we know all too well. It's the story of people that we know. It's the story of people that we love. And it's sad. And we wish we could change it, but we can't. Only God can change it. And so we pray to him and we entrust it to him. And it's a story that can make looking at a parable like this really hard too. But it is important, friends, tonight, that we do look at this part of God's word and think about it for ourselves. For some of us, that's because if we know the human heart, we know that it is but there but by the grace of God go I. In and of myself, given my human sinful heart, you and I could be Mary. And we need to hear the warning that's in this passage tonight, don't we, friends? But maybe for others of us tonight, it's important because you might actually be Mary. And you need to hear these words of Jesus as an encouragement and an exhortation to hear his word, to persevere in service of him as God gives you strength. Friends, tonight this passage answers a question for us, and that question is, what is the difference between a fruitful member of God's kingdom and not being a member of God's kingdom at all? What's the difference between being a fruitful member of God's kingdom and not being a member of God's kingdom at all? And as this passage answers that question, it gives us Jesus' word to us tonight on how we might be faithful, godly disciples of his. To get at what this passage is saying, we need to get some context. You see, the narrative in Mark's gospel, it continues. And you'll notice that Jesus tells this very public parable. Verse 1, we've seen it all the way through Mark, there are crowds. Crowds galore. And they're gathered to hear Jesus. And verse 2, and also in verses 10 and 13, a lot is made of the fact that Jesus teaches in parables. Essentially then, from verses 3 to 8, Jesus tells the parable. And the scenario that Jesus is describing would have been very familiar to the first century Jew. A farmer scatters some seed. Now, at that point, it's important to ask the question, why does a farmer scatter seed? Clearly, it's not for the fun of it. Clearly, it's not because he's got nothing better else to do. The reason a farmer sows seed is to produce a crop. To produce a crop. And in this parable, Jesus emphasizes the point that the seed lands on four different kinds of soil. And depending on the soil, the scattering of the seed has a different effect. In three of the four kinds of soil, the seed doesn't produce the desired effect. In only one of the four kinds of soil, the seed actually produces what it is sown for, and that is a crop. Now, just pretending that we haven't read verses 10 to 20, imagine yourself there, beside the sea, beside the lake, listening to Jesus preach. And he's just told this farmer about a parable about a farmer who's sown some seed. And he talks about the soil that this seed lands in. And now as you stand there and you listen, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility, would it, to think, huh? What is he talking about? To have heard what he said, but to not have actually understood what he said. You see, certainly that was the case, something like that, for the 12 and the others around Jesus, verse 10. And you'll notice that at verse 10, the situation changes very dramatically. It goes from one of being a crowd to the crowds being gone. What was a very public telling of a parable has now become a very private discussion between Jesus and his 12 disciples and some close others. And you see, what they do is they ask about the parables. In verses 11 to 13, Jesus explains the principle behind the parables. And it's here, friends, that I think we get the first answer to what the difference is between the fruitful member of God's kingdom and not being a member at all. You see, Jesus makes a distinction between verse 11, the you, the disciples, and those who are close others, and those who are on the outside. And the difference between the two is a matter of revelation. See, Jesus, verse 11, says to those with him, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. You haven't stumbled upon the secret of the kingdom of God. You haven't by your own intelligence and skill worked it out. The secret, that is the way to enter and be part of God's kingdom, has been given to you. See, there is choice on God's part to reveal it to you as a true disciple of Jesus. And in fact, in this private setting, Jesus goes on in verses 14 to 20 to uncover more and unpack more and more of the secret of the kingdom of heaven as he explains this parable. And you see, friends, it's just a little aside there. You know what? We get the privilege to actually eavesdrop into the way Jesus described this parable. And we should not take that privilege for granted. We should not take that privilege for granted because in actually reading this, we have the Word of God revealed to us. And it would be a dangerous thing to hear God's Word and yet put it aside. So we've got the you, the disciples, and the close others. But you contrast that with those who are outside in verse 11. To them, everything is said in parables. It is revealed, but it is veiled, so that the person sees but doesn't perceive, hears but doesn't actually understand. It's kind of like my experience in three-unit mathematics in year 11. Maybe you had a similar experience. And don't get me wrong, I turned up to class. I really did. I did my best, but no matter how much time, no matter how hard I worked, with three-unit mathematics, I always felt like I was seeing the explanation on the whiteboard, but it just never clicked in my brain. I was listening intently to the teacher, but I just never understood. And so for year 12, I actually dropped three-unit mathematics. But you see, a far greater consequence than dropping out of three-unit maths in year 12. Verse 12, Jesus speaks about those on the outside of the kingdom of God. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. And he says that those outside God's kingdom are like the people of Israel. And the context of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10 is that Israel is in a time of rebellion against God. The heart of the nation is far from God. They have shut their eyes. They have blocked their ears to God's call on them to repent and turn back to him. And so what they will receive is God's judgment because of their hard hearts. The judgment they will receive is that they will see and yet not perceive. They will hear and yet not understand. And therefore they won't find forgiveness. Their hearts are hard. And friends, that's the place that you don't want to be. With a hardened heart toward God. So that you see what God says, but you don't want to get it. Well, you hear what God says, but you don't understand it. where what God says has no bearing on who you are, on what your life is like, on your very existence. That is a dangerous place to be. And you see, friends, that's the heart of the parable. That's the first difference between someone who is a fruitful member of God's kingdom and someone who is not a member at all. It's about whether you harden your heart toward God or not. And I encourage you, friends, if you are here tonight on the basis of this parable, do not harden your heart toward God. Well, after considering the reason for the parables and the first answer to our question, the very private explanation of the parable takes place. Jesus says the seed is the word of God. And here in this parable we have an example of Jesus preaching that word. And the word is sown in four different types of people who respond differently. There are those who are like the path, which is hard. There is the person who is hard to the word of God so that it won't even take root in their life. And Satan comes and he takes the word away, thus removing any chance the person may have had to allow that word to take root and grow. That is the hard-hearted person. There are those who are like the rocky ground. They hear the word and at once they receive it with joy, but they don't have any root. The word is not allowed to take deep, firm hold in their life, and so they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution come because of the word, which is what Jesus says will happen, doesn't he? If you want to follow me, expect to face persecution. That's what he says. That happens and those people fall away. They are the shallow-hearted person. There are those who like the seed sown among thorns. They too hear the word. But other things come in and choke the word. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things apart from God's word. And this results in the word being unfruitful in the life of that person. The distracted-hearted person. Finally, there are those who are like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word. They accept it and it produces a crop. The soft-hearted person. And you see, friends, the overwhelming point, if you haven't already seen it, is you want to be the last person. You want to be the soft-hearted person, the good soil. And you see, the question is this: it is the same seed, it is the word of the kingdom of God. So what is the difference between those who are fruitful members of the kingdom of God and those who are not? Have a look at verse 2. What does Jesus say? Listen. Verse 9, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And we didn't read it, but chapter 4, verses 23, again, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, the second difference between those who are fruitful members of God's kingdom and those who are not is this: are you truly listening to God's word so that it makes a long-term difference in your life? So let me illustrate this again. We all know that there is listening and there is listening. Another school analogy. It would be coming up to exam time. And I distinctly remember the teachers saying, it would be good in preparation for your exams to go across to the library and just get a few of the past papers, You could have a look at them, you could have a bit of a practice through them. You could get a feel for what it's like. They're in the library, you know, you can photocopy for 10 cents a page, 30 cents it'll cost you to get the past papers to prepare for the exam. But whether I was lazy or just plain stupid, I wouldn't. And if I had, I would have had a very high percentage of the paper that I had to answer in the exam. You see, I listened, but I didn't listen. You see, notice all for all of the four soils, all the people hear the word. But for the first three, the word is not listened to, so that it has an ongoing, productive effect in the life of the person. It is only the last of the four that the word is sown and that it is accepted, that is crucial, that is believed, that it is actually staked upon, and then it goes on to produce a crop of varying degrees. And you see, the question that God wants to ask each one of us tonight is, are you listening to me and my word? And the temptation can be that we come here every Sunday and we hear the word preached and we read our Bibles at home. The word is sown into our lives, and whether because of laziness or because of familiarity or because of distraction, whether because of a whole number of reasons, the temptation is to stop listening. We kind of listen, but we're not listening to God's word. And tonight, God, through this passage, is saying to each one of us, whether a believer or not, I am the God who made you. I know what's best for you. I have your good and your best in mind. Are you listening to me to the point where it makes a difference in your life? You know, friends, as we go through the four types of soil, no doubt you can think of people you know in each of the four. But a lot closer to home is to let these four types of soil judge the motivations and the actions of where we personally are as individuals. And so let's, in this moment, be open before God in the quietness of our own heart. What are the things that get in the way of listening to God's word? The passage talks about them, doesn't it? We saw the first one earlier, a hard heart. A hard heart. And maybe that's you here tonight. You've hardened your heart toward God. You may have grown up at church. You may have been hurt by church. You may have all sorts of experiences at church. But right here tonight, your experience is that you are saying, God, talk to the hand. If this is you tonight, I want you to hear the warning of this passage. You shut your ears to God, there comes a point where God won't let you see and hear anymore. That's a scary thought, isn't it? We didn't read it, but in the context of this parable, chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, Jesus says this, "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." See, friends, don't make the mistake of thinking, you know, oh, there's plenty of time to come to God. I'll just live life for me now, in the here and now, for what I want, and I'll repent later. God says, don't take for granted that that option to repent later will be there. Hear God's word now. Produce fruit now under God. Maybe you identify with the rocky soil. You may have been a Christian only for a short while, maybe a long while. You heard the word of God, you accepted it with joy, but now hard times have come and things are affected by your belief of the word. Your work, your friends don't like you as much as they used to. The buzz of being a Christian has worn off, and well, maybe your life is just better the way it used to be, you think. You know, I think for all of us, we face things like this and thoughts like this at times in our lives. And just as another little kind of aside, it's why it's important when we present the gospel to people that we make it clear it is a joy to be a Christian. It really is. In being a Christian, there is great hope and there is great security for the future. There is fellowship with other believers. There is all manner of good and glorious things in living the best life there is, and that is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, we need to be honest that being a Christian is not always going to mean plain sailing. There will be opposition, there will be hardship, and the message of Scripture is that it's through those hardships that our faith actually deepens and grows. Coming back to the rocky soil. If you are this person tonight, can I ask you, what was it that drew you to Jesus? When you heard the word, what excited you? What gave you hope and meaning? What was the thing that drew you to Jesus? And can I encourage you, hang on to those things, even through hardship. That hardship might drive you to really, really dark places. But as you find yourself as rocky soil, look to the greatness of Him. Look to what He did on the cross. Look to the love for which He has shown to you. Look to Jesus above all the difficulties that we will face in this world. Listen. Listen to Him and His word. Don't harden your heart. Pray, plead with God. God, may your word take root in my heart. Let it change me and let it mold me and let it make me more like Jesus. Is that your prayer tonight? Maybe you identify with the thorny ground. And again, I think this is one for all of us. The distracted heart. And this is a constant pressure, isn't it? In a world that loves us to be distracted with what is superficial. A world that does a great job of taking us away from what is actually important. You know, in our hands, we have a device that gives us unparalleled access to information. Never before in history have we ever been able to access so much through a little thing in our hand. But because of those things, we live busy and stressful lives of activity. There are pressures that come on. There are things that take our attention away. There's all sorts of things coming at us all the time. And those things are not all bad. Don't get me wrong. But those things are bad when they constrict the word of God in our hearts. When they stop the word of God actually taking root and changing us and producing fruit. When we set our hearts on stuff, riches, pleasures, instead of living out God's word, when those things become all-consuming so that we don't see growth in our Christian walk. And the question for each one of us is, what do we need to do to declutter, de-stress, simplify our lives in order that stuff is not distracting us? What do we need to do so that the word is actually growing us? Well, the last kind of soil. Hopefully you identify with this one, the good soil. The soft heart to God's word. And you've accepted that word. And you continue to accept that word. And you can see the growth. It's not always plain sailing. It's two steps forward, three steps back. Four steps forward, one step back. But it's growth. The trajectory of our lives is on the path of growth to godliness because of what God is doing in our lives. And praise God for that growth, because sometimes it comes hard, but the growth brings joy and fulfillment and blessing and the overwhelming great hope that your life is in God's hands and He's looking after you and you are His and you will be with Him forever. That's the great joy of being a Christian. You are a fruitful member of His kingdom. You see, that's our prayer, friends, for ourselves, isn't it? That's what we want to be. Fruitful for the sake of Christ. And that's what we pray for the Marys that we know. That God may reveal Himself to them and that they listen and that they hear God's word and that they obey. Friends, tonight God has revealed again His word to us. Are you, am I, listening? Let's pray. Our Lord and God, thank You that You so clearly reveal Yourself to us. We ask for ourselves, Lord God, that You would give us good ears to hear Your word and to obey. That You would help us, Father, under You, by the work of Your Spirit through Your word, that You might produce fruit in our lives, fruit of the gospel, the growth in godliness, growth in love for You and others, that You might continue to conform us more and more to the likeness of Jesus. Our Father, our prayer is for maybe those who, some who are here tonight, maybe some we know, who have turned their back on You. Please again, our Father, encourage them, strengthen them, remind them with the greatness of who You are. And we ask, our Father, that they may repent and turn to You to find the forgiveness and the love that You show. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.